Good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in May, where today here we move into part three of our series on wisdom. Wisdom is supreme, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 declares. So, get wisdom, though it cost you all you have. Gain understanding, and we stay on this journey today and think about how to find wisdom in a place that I don't think is going to surprise you, but that we don't often actually take advantage of. And I will let the words of others introduce this place to you. First, from the words of Job in the scriptures, talking to his friends, trying to get wisdom into them. Chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10. Ask the beasts and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens and let them tell you. Speak to the earth and let it teach you, and let also the fish of the sea declare it to you. Said another way, learn from the created order. Or in the words of Greek philosopher Aristotle, nature does nothing uselessly. Or from the Italian genius Leonardo da Vinci, nature is the source of all true knowledge. She has her own logic, her own laws. She has no effect without cause, no invention without necessity. Or from Barbara Mahaney, the Irish Catholic author of five books, all centered around her study of the intersection of nature and spirituality. From her latest work, The Book of Nature, The Astonishing Beauty of God's First Sacred Text. Quote, God has infused the natural world with symbol and meaning, and if we only read what's there in the trees and the storms and the stars and the hives, we might more fully comprehend the Creator. Nature itself reveals the divine. And why does she call nature God's first sacred text? Well, because for most of history, there was no written text, no writing, no literacy, no books. And even in the church, no Bibles in the hands of folks until about 1,500 years after the life of Jesus. And even then, in the modern West, only about half of humans could even read as recently as 200 years ago. This is probably why Thomas Aquinas, the Italian philosopher and theologian, and one of a small handful of the literate and with access to the written Bible, still wrote around the year 1250, sacred writings are bound in two volumes, volume one, that of creation, and volume two, that of Holy Scripture. Or in the words of the great Galileo in the 17th century, God is known first through nature and secondly by Christian doctrine, which is actually connected to the wisdom of a Hindu sacred text, the Isha Upanishad, which begins, the entire universe is to be looked upon as revealing the Lord. And in the Jewish scriptures, Psalm 19, we're told that day after day, the things of nature pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And now, Jesus himself, who, when you read the biographies over and over and over, encourages us to find wisdom among the natural order, telling people that they can learn about the wisdom and the ways of God from the dough of bread and the yeast added to it, from the seed of a mustard plant, fruit trees, grapevines, sparrows falling to the ground, and on, including, consider the lilies of the field, Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 12. That's right, consider a field of flowers, Jesus says, because wisdom emerges from them. So, let's do it. Let's consider the lilies of the field because they flourish and exude beauty and grace, patience and joy, and God looks after them. And hey, I'd like to flourish and exude beauty, grace, patience and joy and live in the center of God's protection and love. Let's be humble. Follow the advice of Job, Aristotle, Da Vinci, Mahaney, Aquinas, the Upanishads, the Psalmist, and Jesus himself. And let's consider the wisdom that a field of flowers teaches us about living the good life, the flourishing life. And here are three things, three bits of wisdom from the flowers. Number one, first bit of wisdom, get rooted. Because everything that thrives is rooted. which is why the second that you yank flowers from being rooted, their decline accelerates exponentially unless you re-root them, because they need, and we all need, to have a place of rootedness and connection. And of course, the secret of the seed is to get planted in the right environment, good soil, good location where it can drink in sunlight and water, good location where it's protected from being trampled underfoot as much as possible. It's why, among the trees in our backyard, Brittany and I have two trees that were planted at the same time at the stage of a sapling. And one of them is now at least 30 feet high, and the other is just 7 or 8 feet high. Why? Location, location, location. It's why Gretchen Rubin says, if you want to get better in your life, change your surroundings, your environment, not yourself. Because better environments will equal better life, better you. It's why Jonah Berger, professor of the Wharton School and world-renowned expert on social influence and consumer behavior, wrote the bestseller Invisible Influence, The Hidden Forces That Shape Behavior, in which he acknowledges that decisions are seed, yes, attitudes are seed, yes, exercise, sleep, diet, thoughts are seed, but do you know what the most important environment decision we make is? It's the people we choose to plant ourselves around. That's who we decide to be around. Want to exercise for longer? Exercise planted alongside another. Want to eat better? Eat with a friend. Want to struggle more with parallel parking? Park with a passenger sitting next to you. The examples are endless, and his book reveals you cannot talk about who you are without talking about the role others played and play in shaping and determining who you are. TNC, what friendships are you planted and rooted in? Because when you plant yourself near the power and encouragement and unconditional love of the right others, I can almost guarantee you that you will surpass whatever limit you're currently experiencing or whatever experience in the future. Get ready to be a 30-foot tree. But if you root yourself in the wrong friendship environments, I can almost guarantee you poor results, 8-foot tree, which is why I find it so fascinating and odd how we prioritize things. I mean, we make so many things important to us, but in all the things we factor in as we craft our time and our energy and our future and so on, we too often make the people in our lives secondary. I've seen this over and over. People who change jobs and give up good people around them rather than choose good people and give up the new job. Because, and we don't like to say this, but many of us have been mentored by a culture that makes money more important than relationships. You can always make new friends. You can always find a new neighborhood, a new church, a new social network, and so on, we say. Those are expendable, replaceable aspects of our lives. You've got to pursue the new job. But the truth is, there's nothing more important than our relationships. If you want to have great character, it's actually not that hard. Just plant yourself with people of great character. And if you want to take great risks, easy. Surround yourself with risk takers. And if you surround yourself with people who are generous, you're going to end up being more generous. And if you surround yourself with people who read, you're going to become someone who reads more. Surround yourself with people who are optimistic. You're likely to be more optimistic. Surround yourself with people who have dealt well with grief, and you are more likely to deal well with your grief. And by the way, part of being planted and connected well is to make sure that you are bringing value to where you're planted and not just sucking it away from others. Because if all you do is suck, you will deprive people of what they need and they'll be gone. And actually, part of belonging to the right environments then includes not just being valued, but bringing value. This is why you can technically belong to a gym or a fan club or a city or a place of work, but have no sense of belonging. You can belong to a small group, to a church, but have no sense of belonging. You can belong to a family, but have little sense of belonging. It's because belonging requires not just that other people do things for you, but that you feel and know that you are bringing value. So be as interested in remembering another's birthday as you are in having them remember yours. Be as interested in remembering another's name as you are in having someone remember your name. Be as interested in encouraging others as you are in being encouraged. Be as interested in supporting your community as you are in being supported by that community. All of that from a field of flowers. Consider the lilies, Jesus says, and get rooted in good soil. And here's a second bit of wisdom from the flowers. Number two, be patient. Because everything that grows requires time. And depending on the flower, the time from seed time to first bloom can take months, and then often the first year, just average blooms. But as the roots go down and spread out, then more blooms the second year, and even more the third year, and so on. Which is why I've never heard of anything worth achieving in life that doesn't take time. And it's the same for you and me. Why would we think that the best version of ourselves would not take time to develop? So, get rooted, but then get patient. This is why Jesus says, John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is why the Apostle Paul says, Galatians chapter 6, do not grow weary of doing good. You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And I love the writing of Eugene Peterson on this. Peterson was the lifelong pastor, author, writer of the Message translation of the Bible. In his notes on this passage in Galatians 6, he writes, quote, the person who looks for quick results from planting seeds will be disappointed. If I want potatoes for dinner tomorrow, it will do me little good to go out tonight and plant potatoes in my garden. Long stretches of darkness and invisibility and silence separate planting from reaping. And I know it's hard at the moment when your current situation doesn't line up with the revelation you feel of God's future for you, the kind of future you dream about. But TNC, don't grow weary of doing good. Stay patient. And you know, I hope, patience isn't doing nothing. It's doing the same right thing over and over and over, even if you don't see the results. I love the way author, adventurer, entrepreneur, former British Special Forces officer Bear Grylls puts it in his book, Mind Fuel. Mind Fuel, by the way, the perfect book for any graduate, and we're in graduation season. He writes, quote, patience is not a quality we tend to associate with high achievement. We might think that people who are going places aren't willing to sit around waiting for something to change in their favor. Rather, we think they act. They change their circumstances for themselves. But it turns out, he writes, patience is actually the key element of success. He goes on, there are lots of different qualities necessary to achieve great things. Grit, courage, vision. But patience is perhaps the most underrated quality, something that the flowers teach us. And now number three, a third bit of wisdom from the flowers, live in faith, not fear. Because every moment is on the market, and if you only wait until the harvest or until the bloom to be happy, then most of your moments will be filled with fear, frustration, and worry. But faith allows you to enjoy the seed because you know where the seed's headed. And living in faith allows you to enjoy the seedling stage because you know where it's headed. And it allows you to enjoy the bud phase because you know where it's headed. And faith will even allow you to enjoy the bloom phase more because you know it's not the last bloom, there's more coming. This is how faith works, because faith, it sees the future in the moment. It trusts the future in the moment. It trusts the one who holds the future in his hands. Again, listen to Jesus on this, Matthew chapter 6. Look at the flowers. See the flowers of the field as they grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, faith is the secret. Faith in the moment. Verse 31, Jesus goes on, so don't worry. Instead, in this moment, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those other things will be given to you as well. And by the way, TNC, one of the things that's unique about human beings as a species is that we are interconnected to the future. Every other species, from the best that we can tell, is completely or almost completely living only in this moment. But human beings are inseparable from a relationship to the past and the future. And when we spend a lot of our moments living in the past, it tends to be living a life of regret. But when we live in the future, we have two options. In our moments where we think a lot about the future, we either can live a life that would be described as a life of faith or a life of fear, since the future is unknown. And so we're connected to this unknown, mysterious space called the future. It's part of being a human. And how we think about that future reality matters, because whether we have a sense of optimism or hope about it, or whether we're filled with fear and worry about it, shapes the way we experience life in the present moment. And a present moment filled with faith in a God-infused future casts out fear. It allows us to experience the goodness of this moment, which turns out is all we have. All we have is this day. Or in the words of Jesus, verse 27, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, because you don't always get to choose that, but you can learn to make the most of this time. And that's the great wisdom of the flowers. First, get rooted, because everything that thrives is rooted. Second, get patient, because all growth takes time. And third, embrace faith, because every moment is on the market, and faith is what allows you to enjoy the moment of seed and the moment of seedling and bud and bloom, because we serve a God who is good and who is with us always, even to the very end of the age. Let's pray. God, I pray for every person listening now, that they would have humility to learn from the flowers and discover because of it that they're living in beauty, grace, patience, joy, and at the center of God's protection and love. And I pray that too for their families and their friends and their places of work. And now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.